Wednesday, 5 p.m., WHPC 90.3 FM is the place and the show, American Hit Radio, here every Wednesday and Friday from 5 until 6 p.m. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales-Ryan, here as well. You. Wednesdays, of course, on the American Hit Radio show, we vary sometimes what we do as pretty much our reason for existence. So, you know,
every get crazy like that.
Themes tend to change, ideas change. A while back, we hit on this idea of trying to cover albums that never really got the proper respect that they deserved in their own time. We called this idea the alternative top 40. Now we're just more or less calling it, you know, 500 really great albums that never made the top 40. And we're covering them in chronological order. We started in 1964. And we're going to just move up till we cover 500 of them, which is going to bring us toward the present. So as you can tell, to do 500 shows like that, you need 500 weeks. So we'll be doing this for a while.
It's going to be fun, though.
Yeah. This is show.
We'll make you respect it, okay?
Right. This show finds us covering November of 1967 when this was released, pretty much the just post-Summer of Love release for this band. It was their third album. The band is called Love. And the album is entitled Forever Changes. An album that, when it came out, did so dismally.
Oh, poor guy.
It was the worst charting album that they ever made, including albums that came out after this album when the whole band quit. It's so crazy and weird. The other albums nobody remembers anymore. This album has gone on to get such praise that even like British Parliament, for some bizarre reason, felt inclined to want to have to state that this is one of the greatest albums of all time.
That's kind of crazy.
What's that about?
Sure you know it's good.
Members of British Parliament in 2002 stated that this album is one of the greatest albums of all time. Okay.
Stunning.
Meanwhile, it got no higher than 154 on the Billboard pop charts, album charts, in its own time, which is ridiculous.
Wake up, people.
A masterpiece. It's generally all handed over to Arthur Lee, who was the brain trust of the band. However, what's interesting is one of the most well-known songs on the album and the lead-off track from the album is not written by Arthur Lee, but by Brian McLean, the other songwriter of the band, who is responsible for writing just two songs on the album, but he did write this gorgeous introductory track from the album entitled Forever Changes. Here is Alone Again Or.
Times I've waited patiently for you, and you'll do just what you choose to do, and I will be alone again tonight, my dear. Said to me, you know that I could be in love with almost everyone. I think that people are the greatest fun. And I will be alone again tonight, my dear. We'll be right back. said to me, you know that I could be in love with almost everyone. I think that people are the greatest ones. And I will be alone again tonight, my dear.
Brian McLean, a very interesting character, sort of the silent member, the person who is not really remembered as much as the lead singer guitarist Arthur Lee. Arthur Lee, everybody remembers.
What happens, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, because Arthur Lee is the major songwriter, and since he's the voice and the face of the band, you don't think of Brian McLean much. But I mean, what a fascinating life! His father was an architect, designed homes for both Elizabeth Taylor and Dean Martin.
Wow!
He learned to swim in Elizabeth Taylor's pool. Next door neighbor was Frederick Lowe of Lerner and Lowe, the songwriting team. And it was even Frederick Lowe who had recognized that McLean had a phenomenal ear for melody at the age of three, declared him a melodic genius, which is pretty incredible. His very first girlfriend was Liza Minnelli.
Oh, my.
Incredible.
That's saying
something. Maria McKee of Lone Justice, I think. That's his half-sister.
Oh.
It's all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's Brian McLean. Meanwhile, though, as I said, you know, Arthur Lee was the person who founded the band. Originally, they called themselves the Grassroots until they discovered that there was another band that went by that name. And they had to change it. So they became Love, which was a sort of a perfect name for the mid-60s. You know, somebody had to do it.
That's right.
So they took it. And their first album spawned a minor hit, a version of a Burt Bacharach, Hal David song called Little Red Book. Their second album could have done pretty well, except for the fact that they released an entire album side-length jam on the second side, which really watered down the effect of that album. And the band sort of began to dissipate afterwards. There was like more or less total indifference. So when it was time to record the third album, there was very little desire on the band's part to really even care. So they sort of fell together, and they really didn't fall together in any big way. In fact, it was decided at some point that hell with it, we're just going to use studio musicians.
Really?
And they brought in Hal Blaine and Carol Kay and people like that to start recording this album. And then the band members, I guess they all were sort of like shocked into the awareness that, whoa, we just really blew it.
We're making an album.
You know, this is really bad. We should be recording our own album. So they finally started to cooperate, and the album was finished with the band as it was.
They finally decided to tune in.
Although, unfortunately, the reaction to the album was so dismal that the band fell apart after this record came out. Number 154 on the Billboard charts. I mean, how pathetic is that? That song that we just heard, Alone Again, Or, which I believe you often see on the 100 Best Songs of All Time list.
Yes.
You know, it's just a lot of people do think that highly of it, including me. That went to number 123 on the singles chart upon release. It's just sad. Ridiculous. Meanwhile, we may as well get into the feel for the album, because like the real heart of the album does come from Arthur Lee with his really strange titles, words, the way that he assembles words in a poetic manner that basically makes them very interesting to hear and allows you to basically interpret them however you wish. But there's obviously a very clever mind at work trying to set these things up in a way that is not clear, but somehow poetic. Not unlike what we heard last week when we played Neil Young's work with Buffalo Springfield around their second album. Well, that being said, here is Love with an Arthur Lee song called A House Is Not a Motel.
At my house, I've got no shackles. You can come and look if you want to. Through the halls, you'll see the mantles where the light shines dim all around you. And the streets are paved with gold. And if someone asks you, you can call my name.
You're just a thought that someone, somewhere, somehow feels you should be here. And it's so for real to touch, to smell, to feel, to know why you are here. And the streets are paved with gold, and if someone asks you, you can call my name. You can call my name. I hear you calling my name. By the time that I'm through singing, the bells from the schools of wars will be ringing. More confusions, blood transfusions, the news today will be the movies for tomorrow. And the waters turn to blood, and if you don't think so, go turn on your tub. And if it's mixed with mud, you see it turn to gray. Then you can call my name. I hear you calling my name.
An album that is like so perfect in its time, but has survived those times so well. I don't think there's as many albums. Maybe there's not a single album at all that has survived from the year 1967 as well as this album. I think it really might be the album that has aged best out of everything from this era, because it actually has grown in stature, that's for sure. I mean, if it got re-released, you know, when it got re-released, it almost charted as high as it did when it was released in the first place.
That's pretty wild.
You know, it's now, I mean, there's not any list of great albums of all time that doesn't include this record now. Mojo Magazine said it was, you know, number 11 of the greatest albums ever made. You know, the NME ranked it at number 6 of all time.
That's crazy.
So this is like, what, you know, this is the album, just, you know, it talk about aging gracefully and, you know, and if not even just flat out just sounding better. But there's so much about 1967 that is stamped all over this record. You hear, I've always heard, like, you know, overtones of Justin Hayward in his voice of the Moody Blues. There's elements of that. They're sharing a label with the Doors. And there's almost like a similar rock sensibility about what they are doing there, I guess, about as far as being outside, you know, societal outsiders, that sort of thing. Arthur Lee was good friends with Jimi Hendrix. Hendrix even appears on a track or two on their later albums, although this is long after the band itself really ceased to exist in any shape or form. There were essentially Arthur Lee's solo records by then. Even Neil Young had gotten involved at one point, at least almost got involved. He was slated to do the production for this album, but then he realized that he was much too busy with Buffalo Springfield, so he bailed, which means that it ended up being, you know, Arthur Lee ran it with Bruce Botnick, who had produced their previous album, so it was pretty much a homegrown affair. But I don't know, it so much manages to be an album of its time while eclipsing the what do you call it, the pitfalls that could have kept it stuck in the 60s.
Right, it's not just stuck in one period.
Not at all. Here's another track that pretty much drives home that point. Another, you know, I guess, you know, word game of Arthur Lee's. The track is called And More Again.
And if you see and more again, then you will know and more again. For you can see you in her eyes. Then you feel your heart beating, rum, bum, bum, bum. And when you've given all you had, and everything still turns out bad, and all your feel your heart beating, rum, bum, bum, bum. And I'm wrapped in my armor, but my things are material. And I'm lost in confusions, 'cause my things are material. And you don't know how much I love you. Oh, oh, oh. If you see and more again, then you might be and more again. For you just wish and you are here. Then you feel your heart beating, rum, bum, bum, bum. Things are material. And I'm lost in confusions, 'cause my things are material. And you don't know how much I love you.
All right, awesome. I just got a phone call from an old friend of the show, Mike, who basically, he had written a book on The Who called When Stars Are in Reach. We had him on about, I don't know, I guess it was, it feels like it was only about 3 or 4 months ago, but I know that that's just me fooling myself.
That's you.
It was definitely time always like, you know, we're much older than we were then, Mike, I'm afraid. But he makes a good point. It's interesting to note how this album is essentially an acoustic affair. An awful lot of the arrangements are based around acoustic guitars, if not really the whole record. And yet, you know, Arthur Lee's quite an excellent guitar player, but in this instance, the arrangements started out as gentle acoustic arrangements, which made them probably one of the reasons why they lasted so long, because you don't have a lot of the silly effects on the guitars
right,
that might have dated it.
Yes.
You know, that's one that's something
well,
that they managed
done
to avoid.
A very classic, classical, like Spanish guitar style. A lot of it too.
Exactly. That's what you can pull off with an acoustic guitar, which is because that's how Spanish guitar is played, and it also then lends the arrangements to these gorgeous strings to be added, without it sounding like it's fighting against anything.
Right.
So that's a great point. Thanks for bringing that up, Mike. I think that's really cool. for the most part, the music on this album speaks for itself, so I don't need to say too much, really, except for just introducing each individual track, because I love every song. I mean, pretty much each one has got... Listen to the melodies of these songs. They are just... They're massively intelligent, really mature melodies, you know, that are also unlike anybody else's melodies. They don't really sound like any other band.
You're right.
The only thing that sounds alike is the way that Arthur Lee and Brian McLean happen to write in a similar manner, and they're in the same band.
Yeah, that's pretty stunning.
That's crazy, right? You play the song side by side, and you'd have a hard time knowing who wrote it.
Right.
And yet you would know instantly that it was a love song. Well, here's the next track on the album. This is called The Daily Planet. Rather interestingly, a song that was inspired by the newspaper where Clark Kent worked. The title and the theme, actually, about pretty much, you know, life going on, day-to-day life, called The Daily Planet on that song. We're mentioning about the similarity of the songwriting between Arthur Lee and Brian McLean. Here's a good chance to compare them back-to-back. This is the only other song on the album that was written by McLean, besides the first track called Alone Again Or... Which, by the way, even the titles...
That's a great one, though.
Right? I mean, isn't it odd that even their titles...
like, are similar.
You know, right. He'd write...
Play on words.
Right. Brian would write Alone Again Or, and Arthur writes And More Again. This one happens to be called Old Man. A straightforward title for a change.
Hmm.
next to a man. Been everywhere in the world. Gave me a tiny ivory ball. Said it would bring me good. Never believed it would until I had been loving you. Dear old man, he'd seen most everything. Gave me a piece of good advice. Said it would do me well. I couldn't really tell until I had been loving you. Now it seems things are not so strange. I can see more clearly. Suddenly I found my way. I know the old man would laugh. He spoke of love's sweeter days. And in his eloquent way, I think he was speaking of you. You are so lovely, you didn't have to say a thing. But I remember that old man telling me he'd seen the light. Gave me a small brown leather book. Insisted that he was right. I only heard him slightly. Till I heard you whispering. Took you up all in my arms. Dear old man, wise old man, fine old man now.
All right, that's a good study comparison between the two songwriters.
Very good.
Right? And it, to me, it's, I mean, the thing is, I try to recognize, not try to, but it, I find that a good way to recognize a songwriter is through their use of melody. Mm-hmm. It's almost like being able to recognize somebody's who's talking to you by their speech patterns.
Right. I always say that a musician's second voice is their instrument. So
definitely. So if somebody calls you up on the phone, how often are you able to recognize who it is before they tell you? With music, it's a lot like that as well with how they write melodies, what notes they choose. And it's really interesting that I would not be, you know, if Brian McLean or Arthur Lee called me up on the phone, I'd have to say, who is it?
Good one.
Wait, are you Brian or are you Arthur? Well, let's play the last song on side one as it appeared in 1967, actually November of 67 when the album came out. Everything on the album from this point on is an Arthur Lee song. And here's the last song from side one called The Red Telephone.
Hillside, watching all the people die. I'll feel much better on the other side of the road. I believe in magic. Why? Because it is so quick. I don't need power when I'm hypnotized. Look in my eyes. What are you seeing?
I see.
How do you feel?
I feel real phony when my name. Thank you.
life goes on here, day after day. I don't know if I am living or if I'm supposed to be. Sometimes my life is so eerie. And if you think I'm happy, paint me yellow. I've been here once, I've been here twice. I don't know if the third's the fourth or if the fifth's to fix. Sometimes I deal with numbers. And if you wanna count me out. Day, anytime with me's okay. I just don't want you using up my time, 'cause that's not right.
That somewhat dark composition is the end of side one of the album Forever Changes, which we are trying to play in its entirety for this show as part of our How Music Changes, well, excuse me, as part of our Alternative Top 40 series, or the greatest albums that never made the top 40. I'm talking about so many of the different people that had rated this album so high on the all-time music lists. Mm-hmm. I personally don't like to arrange albums in order of preference, because it's way too subjective.
That
it changes all the time. Like, what makes this album number 6 and something else number 7? You know what I mean?
Right.
Or when you compare number 6 to number 12, at what point does that get a little bit too blurry to make any sense? I mean, it's included here in this show because I put it in my 500 favorite albums of all time. It's definitely there. Where would it fall within that 500? It's hard to say, but I would say it would probably fall pretty close to the top, or the top half. It would be in the front half of that, because it is an album, which, by the way, the side two, it gets distinctly better as the album goes along, which we'll get to that in a second. I write an essay for each of these things generally, so here's what I had written about this one, and then we'll get right back to side two. Until just now, I never really thought about it, but Forever Changes deserves recognition as one of the heaviest titles ever bestowed on an album. How could an indisputable masterpiece such as Forever Changes have gone unrecognized as such in its own time? This was the third and final album that featured both original songwriters Arthur Lee and Brian McLean, and features the best work either had ever done. Despite its obvious genius, Forever Changes was the band's worst-selling album. Even their vastly inferior subsequent follow-up record, For Sale, fared better. Love was one of the first rock bands to appear on the folk-based Elektra Records, opening the floodgate for the West Coast rock revolution that followed shortly thereafter. Forever Changes features a plethora of session musicians, adding sheen to the band's basic tracks, including liberal use of both horns and a string section. Gorgeous. It is a beautifully crafted album rife with contradiction. Gorgeous melodies, supported by strings, suggest an even more rococo left bank. But the psychedelic lyrical imagery shifts patterns constantly until indecipherability renders the listener uncomfortable. Arthur wrote some of the most haunted and convoluted lyrics imaginable, making a dark joke out of the flower power mentality that was sugarcoating so much music in 1967. Two songs in particular received minimal airplay in their own time, but have gone on to be recognized as two of the most lauded songs of their age. McLean's Alone Again Or is a simple lyrical study on melancholia, while You Set the Scene questions virtually every aspect of the psychedelic mindset, both featuring stunningly gorgeous string and horn arrangements. Say what you will about memories and revisionism, but the 60s were actually pretty scary times, and Love Forever Changes captures the fear and doubt of that turbulent era and somehow makes it all sound beautiful. Here's the first track from Side 2 with one of the most convoluted titles of all. This is called Maybe the People Would Be the Times or Between Clark and Hilldale.
What is happening and how have you been? Gotta go, but I'll see you again. And oh, the music is so loud. And then I fade into the... Crowds of people standing everywhere. Across the street I'm at the Slop Affair. And here they always play my songs. And me, I wonder if it's... Come here just the same, telling everyone about their games. And if you think it obsolete, then you go back across the street. Yeah, street.
Thank you.
I gotta honestly say, this album's got about four of my all-time favorite songs on it. That being one of them. Maybe The People Would Be the Times or Between Cork and Hilldale. This next one is another one of mine, of the four, that I just love so much. This is called Live and Let Live.
Oh, the snot has caked against my pants. It has turned into crystal. There's a bluebird sitting on a branch. I guess I'll take my pistol. I've got it in my hand, because he's on my land. And so the story ended. You know it oh so well. Oh shit, you need I'll tell you. The ending. And yes, I see you sitting on the couch. I recognize your artillery. I have seen you many times before. Once when I was in India, and I was on my land. Why can't you understand? And so the story ended. You know it oh so well. Or should you need I'll tell you. Turned into crystal. There's a bluebird sitting on a branch. I guess I'll take my pistol. I've got it in my hand, because he's on my land. And so the story ended. You know it oh so well. Or should you need I'll tell. Thank you.
hummingbird's hum. What do they hum? Little girls wearing pigtails in the morning. In the morning, la da 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 da. Merry-go-rounds are going round, spinning all over the town in the morning. In the morning, la da 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 da. Summertime's here, and look, oh, there are flowers everywhere in the morning. In the morning, la da 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 da.
Love that ending.
Surprise ending.
We heard Live and Let Live into The Good Humor Man. He Sees Everything Like This. It's the name of that track we just heard. Let's play one more real quick because I've really got to get to the ending and try to save my time. This is called Bummer in the Summer.
Well, I remember when you used to look so good and I did everything that I possibly could for you. We used to ride around all over town, but they're putting you down for being around with me. But you can go ahead if you want to, 'cause I ain't got no papers on you. In the middle of the summer, I had a job in a plumber just a pass for the ball. It was you who wanted to ball all day. When we're walking along, honey, hand in hand, I'm thinking of your mama when you're thinking of another man. But you can go ahead if you want to, 'cause I ain't got no papers on you. No, I don't. I ain't got no papers on myself. Yeah.
it's just a falsehood.
All right, unfortunately, no time for small talk. I just want to end what is one of my favorite albums from the Summer of Love with a song that might really very much qualify as my favorite song from the Summer of Love. Certainly up there. I love this album. It's Love Forever Changes, and the last track is called You Set the Scene. Enjoy it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you love the album. See you on Friday.
Where are you walking? I've seen you walking. Have you been there before? Walk down your doorsteps, you'll take some more steps. What did you take them for?
There's a private in my boat, and he wears fizz instead of medals on his coat. There's a chicken in my nest, and she won't lay until I've given her my vest. At her request, she asks for nothing. You get nothing in return. If you want, she brings you water. If you don't, then you will burn.
You go through changes, it may seem strange. Is this what you're put here for? You think you're happy and you are happy. That's what you're happy for.
There's a man who can't decide if he should fight for what his father thinks is right. There are people wearing frowns who'll screw you up, but they would rather screw you down. At my request, I ask for nothing. You get nothing in return. If you're nice, you bring me water. If you're not, then I will picture.
it's in the same old frame. We meet again.
Such a little while, and the things that I must do consist.